Open up with me in your Bibles to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. This would be the final in our summer series, Issues of the Heart. Next week, we'll have our missionary speakers, and then the last 2 weeks in August, we'll continue our study of the book of Philippians. That will take us to the end of the year. We're going to have a little detour in there. We're going to study an Old Testament book of the Bible. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Did you find it? We're going to read starting with verse 13 of Galatians chapter 5. Just a reminder as we partake of the Lord's Supper in just a little bit, that I would like to encourage you to come prepared to share during our time around the Lord's table an opportunity God has given you to share His goodness with someone who doesn't know Jesus Christ. And so over the last month, if God has given you an opportunity to share your faith, I would like you to think about that and come prepared to share. Verse 13 of Galatians chapter 5. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, verse 16, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of angers, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warned you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Verse 24, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we come before your word humbly, realizing that in and of ourselves we can't really understand it, much less apply it. We need your Holy Spirit to illumine our hearts, to open up our eyes, to understand what you have for us today. And we need your Holy Spirit as we leave this building so that we can apply it for the glory of God and the worship of your Son, Jesus Christ. This I pray. Amen. So if you notice in this text, he starts in verse 13, then he ends in verse 26, that there's a battle going on between the brothers there in Galatia. Now they're bickering, they're biting one another, they're devouring one another, they're provoking one another, not to good works, but to envy. And then Paul takes a slight detour here and he says, you know, there's a battle going on between you, but also there's a battle going on in you. And this battle going on in you is between the Spirit of the living God, and your flesh. And he takes this detour and he's saying, who do you belong to? Who is it that you really belong to? Are you with Christ or are you with yourself? Like I said, I've already given the title Addictions and Idolatrous Heart, but it is that word addiction isn't a word that is found in the Bible an awful lot. In the ESV, in 1 Timothy 3:8, it says this to deacons, in the qualifications for deacons, it says, deacons should not be addicted to much wine. The word addicted there actually means to be devoted to, fully devoted to. You're fully devoted to the consumption of wine. In the Authorized Version, I don't know if any of you have the Authorized Version, it's an older version. It says in 1 Corinthians 6:15, it says this: You know that the house of Stephanas, that is in the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Now, addiction there is used in the positive sense. Completely devoted to the ministry of the saints. So the Bible doesn't say a whole lot about the word addiction. Addiction in our modern sense is a modern term. But the Bible has a whole lot to say about addiction. This doesn't use the word addiction. It uses words such as desire, passions, pleasures, cravings, coveting, lust, longing for, lasciviousness, covetousness, the idea of being fully devoted to and fully engaged in. In our culture, addictions carries a lot of baggage with it. Oftentimes when you think of an addiction in our culture, you think maybe it's a disease. A lot of what we used to call nasty habits are now classified as disorders or diseases. And not a whole lot of hope for it's a disease. When it's a disease, you can take a medicine like diabetes, right? You take a medicine for diabetes, you take insulin. But the Bible does say in 2 Peter chapter 1, that the Bible has given us. Why don't you go there with me, 2 Peter chapter 1. Did you find it? You notice in the book of in Galatians, there he mentioned the word desire 4 or 5 times in that short passage. Desires. Fleshly desires. 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 3. His divine power, God's divine power, has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who has called us to His own glory and excellence. Verse 4. By which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. We find that word again, desires. It's the Greek word epithumio. But Peter, there in 2 Peter, he qualifies desires. He says, what does he say about desires there? What's the word he uses to qualify desires? Evil. Sinful desires. Desires is something that you want. The Bible has nothing against people wanting things. Now, we want certain things. I want obedient children. Anybody else want obedient children? Yeah? Is that a sinful desire? Not necessarily. Can it become a sinful desire? Yes, it can. I want a loving wife. I have a loving wife. Everybody else want a loving wife? Yeah. Okay. Both of those are very biblical in nature. But I also want a reliable car. I want a car that's going to get me to work. You know, on time, and I have to pull over to the side of the road. I've had cars that weren't very reliable. Now, that's not a biblical. It's not in the Bible that Ken Collins must have a reliable car, but that is something I want. Is that an evil desire? Is that a sinful desire? I want a reliable car? No. Can it be? Yes, it can. I want my knees to stop hurting. Yeah? Anybody else want something to stop hurting? Yeah, okay, Dave, yeah. Sinful desire? Not necessarily. But Peter qualifies desires and says sinful. Paul in Galatians says they were fleshly desires, desires of the flesh. So desires in and of themselves, biblically, don't always mean negative sinful desires. In fact, Jesus in Luke 22, he says this to his disciples: I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. What does that mean? It's the same word that Paul uses. It's a good desire. He wanted to eat the Lord's Supper with the disciples before he suffered. So some desires are legitimate desires. But I can also have illegitimate desires. Go with me to James chapter 4, please. Find with me James chapter 4. Starting with verse 1. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions, it's the word where we get hedonism from, are at war within you? You desire. And you do not have. This desire could be a good desire, it could be a bad desire. But you do not have, so you murder. Those good desires have to become into sinful desires because they mean so much to you that you're willing to kill to get them. You covet, another word for desire, and cannot obtain. So you fight and you quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. And you, when you ask, you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Another passage that speaks of desires, passions, in our modern day legal, addictions. Some wants, cravings, and lusts are not wrong in and of themselves, but some are very, very wrong in and of themselves. We saw the passage in Galatians 5. What are some of those things? Some of those fleshly desires that are wrong, inherently wrong. Verse chapter 5 of Galatians, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies. And then he says things like these. All these are sinful desires that come from within us. They're not from without us. They are coming from within us. In our day and age, we might add some things that are also sinful. An addiction to illicit drugs or even prescription drugs in excess. Cigarettes. We have some dear members who struggle with smoking. Simple habits. But desires in our day and age aren't limited just to these, are they? We have all kinds of other desires too. Sleep. We love to sleep, right? And sleep become a nasty habit in some people's lives. Food. Anybody ever have a desire for food? Anybody here ever try to lose weight? Huh? Easy as pie, right? Oh, don't, you can't do that. You know, you can't talk about pie when you're dieting, can you? Desire for food isn't necessarily wrong, but it can become very, very wrong. In regards to food, what about, you know, sweets? Anybody like sweets? Chocolate. Chocolate. I mean, there are some real issues with food where desires have become controlling. There's two conditions that young girls, not only young girls, young men, and not only young, but bulimia and anorexia. You're familiar with these, right? Terms that the world has given to describe desires that have taken over. And most of the times, the desires isn't necessarily for the food. They are serving other things. Control, maybe, is one of them. What about coffee? Anybody like coffee? Anybody in a bad mood until you have your first cup of coffee in the morning? No? Well, he said, don't bother me. I haven't had my first cup of coffee. Like somehow that first cup of coffee, does not having it justifies you acting sinfully. Does it? No. Your desire for coffee has become what? Right. There you go. Greed. the need for just a little bit more. How much would make you happy? Just a little bit more, right? Just a little bit more. Just a little more work. Comfort. Control. In fact, the world has given to these inordinate desires, these controlling desires, words. You ever hear of OCD? Obsessive compulsive disorder? They call it a disorder, but it is desires gone amok. Cleanliness. Oh, I want my house to be clean. Good desire? Can it become a controlling desire? Yes, it can. Where a mother punishes a child for jumping on the couch or walking across her nicely vacuumed floor. Security. Everybody wants to be safe. But can you go overboard on safety?
Yeah.
Moms wanting to protect their children so badly that they don't let them go out and play. Some of you are laughing. Exercise. Well, that's not my problem. But some people make a big deal about exercise, looking good. It has become a controlling desire. Entertainment. Gambling. Sports. Social media. You ever gone to the restaurant? There's a family of four there. And what are they doing? What are they doing? They're all talking, but they're not talking to each other. Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter. None of those things are wrong necessarily in and of themselves. But they can become very, very wrong because they can rule us. So Paul's point there in Galatians chapter 5, are desires, ruling desires, that control us. Go back with me to Galatians chapter 5. But look what he says in Galatians chapter 5. Look how many times he repeats it. In verse 16, he says, I want you not to gratify the desires of the flesh. Verse 17, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. Down to verse 24. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Paul is talking not so much now about the war outside with my brother. Even that is a war within. But he's talking about these raging battles that go within each and every one of our hearts. Where desires want to control us. And as Christians, we should have the Holy Spirit control us. Look how Paul describes it in Romans chapter 17, this inward battle. Romans chapter 7. Did I say 17? I'm sorry. 7. Go with me to Romans chapter 7. Starting with verse 15. For I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Anybody ever feel like that? Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. This guy is one frustrated man. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells within me. So I find in it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells within my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Verse 25. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Paul is describing here, and in other passages in the Bible, two circles. Two hearts. One circle represents the world's philosophy in regards to addictions, desires, passions, lusts. The world will say that my problem is outside of me. My problem is alcohol. My problem is drugs. My problem is food. My problem is control. My problem is comfort. It's all outside of me. The solution? It's inside of me. I've got to what? Love myself more. I got to have better self-awareness. I got to be more confident in and of myself. I need to set boundaries for myself. I need to set limits. So the problem is out there. The solution is in here. Paul is saying, the Bible Scripture tells us that no. That's inverted. The world's system is completely inverted. The Bible says the problem is where? The problem is in my heart. I desire wrongly certain things. These desires that are in me drive me to certain behaviors. So the problem is within me. It's my sin, my desire. The solution isn't in me, the solution is outside of me in the person of whom? Jesus Christ, His Holy Spirit, God the Father. So I'm never going to find relief for my addictions, for my inordinate desires, for these passions and lusts looking inward. I am only going to find real relief, real solutions looking outward. Isn't that what he says in verse 24 of Romans chapter 7? Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through whom? Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 5 once more. How is it then that these desires, some of them good, some of them bad, become idolatrous or become controlling? How is it that they gain control of my life so that I feel physically that I'm addicted to something? That if I can't have my cup of coffee, somehow my body responds in a negative way. How is it that I feel like I am being controlled by this substance when in fact the Bible says I am being controlled by my desires that have become sinful? Back with me in Galatians chapter 5, verses 15 to 7. Look at the mutually exclusive statements in Galatians chapter 5. He says this in verse 15. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So if you walk by the Spirit, what won't you live by, according to this passage? It's impossible. If you walk by the Spirit, what won't you gratify? Your own desires, right? Those heart desires that each of us have. They're mutually exclusive. They cannot walk hand in hand. So if you're walking by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Then in verse 17, he says this, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. They're against each other. They don't walk hand in hand. And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other. You cannot have both. You cannot be controlled both by the Spirit of God and both by your sinful fleshly desires. It may look like you are. It may look like you're committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you're being controlled by your sinful desires, guess what? You're being controlled by your sinful desires. You're not being controlled by the Spirit of God. And when you commit to your life to the Lord, this often happens, you know, when you're telling a fib to your mom or dad. And they say, do you promise? Yeah, I promise. I promise. You promise? Yeah. And then what do you do? What do you have? You have your fingers crossed, right? Behind your back? Well, yeah, Mom, I have my fingers crossed. And oftentimes we commit our lives to the Spirit of God, but what do? We have our fingers crossed. It's not really God. I really want to live by my sinful desires. Go with me to an interesting passage in 2 Kings. 2 Kings. I know we're moving around a lot in our Bibles, but hey, that's why we bring them to church, right? So we can move around in them. 2 Kings, chapter 17. Starting with verse 34. This is how God describes the people of Israel. He says, "To this day they do according to their former manner. They do not fear the Lord. And they do not follow the statutes or the rules or the laws or the commandments that the Lord commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel. The Lord made a covenant with them and commanded them, 'You shall not fear other gods or bow yourselves to them or serve them or sacrifice to them, but you shall fear the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt with great power and with an outstretched arm. You shall bow yourself to him, and to him you shall sacrifice. And the statutes and the rules and the laws and the commandments that he wrote for you, you shall always be careful to do. You shall not fear other gods. And you shall not forget the covenant I made with you. You shall not fear other gods. You shall fear the Lord your God.'" Notice the mutually exclusive statements. You can't do both. Verse 40. "However, they would not listen, but they did according to their former manner." Verse 41. "So these nations feared the Lord and also served their carved image. Their children did likewise, and their children's children, as their fathers did, they do to this day." So it looked like from the outside that they were serving God. But what were they doing? Serving their false images, their own desires, their own idols that they had set up in the place of God. Isaiah 43 said that God has created us all for His own glory. God has made us all worshipers by nature. God created an Adam and Eve in the garden, a perfect garden. And He created them so that they would worship Him in His glory. And worship Him alone. But soon, very soon thereafter, Adam and Eve fell. And Romans classifies it this way. He says, they exchanged the glory of God for the glory of creation. And they decided to worship the creation instead of the Creator. It says this, "Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore God gave them up to the lust of their hearts," the desires of their hearts, "to impurity, to dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the Creator served the creature rather than the Creator, who was blessed forever and ever. Amen." So how is it that our desires become controlling? We read in Ezekiel chapter 14 early this morning that there are idols in our heart. Usually when we think of idols, we lived in a foreign country, you know, you would oftentimes go into houses and there would be images there, there would be statues, maybe you have seen something along those in some of your world travels. But the Bible is very clear that idols can be things that we set up in our hearts. They don't have to be images. They can be desires that we set up in our hearts that take the place of God. How is it, according to Galatians 5, that we set up these sinful desires in our hearts in such a way that they become controlling? Galatians 5 is very, very clear about it. We say no to the Spirit of God. When you say no to the Spirit of God, you are quenching the Holy Spirit of God, and there is a vacuum created there that will be filled by your ruling desires. When you say no to the Spirit of God. God is no longer controlling you. You have gotten into a bad habit of saying no to God. Martin Luther said this way. He said it this way. To whatever you give your heart and entrust your being, that becomes your God's. Your desires begin to define you. What you thought you could control at the beginning, food, alcohol, sex, pornography, whatever it was, ends up controlling you. Your idol becomes your God. Of course, we always rationalize. We say our situation isn't that bad. We compare ourselves to others. You think, I deserve, I've been good so long, God, I just need just a little bit of pleasure, just a little bit of reward from this world. Maybe the initial desire wasn't really that wrong, but because we have said no to the Spirit of God for so long, it ends up this desire controlling us. We all entrust ourselves to God and idols that want to destroy us. The power of our desires becomes so strong that we sin in order to get them. Or we sin when we don't get them. A woman can desire a clean house. Good desire. But when she doesn't get it, and when the other people in the house don't cooperate, and she gets angry at them, and yells at them, or becomes obsessive about her clean house, that good desire has become a controlling desire, and she worships the idol of cleanliness. It's not a little image she puts up there, but it's her house. Or when a teenager has social media, and their parents take it away from them for a period of time, and they get angry about it. That social media has become an idol. They can't live without it. It controls them. It feels like an addiction. It feels like, oh, I can't live without this. But it's not something outside of you. It's something in you. You have said no to the Spirit of God for so long. And I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to me too. A pastor who desires a healthy church, a church that grows, a church that mirrors the image of God, he'll fudge a little bit when he gets together with other pastors in a group. How's your church doing? Oh, man, it's great. Man, we had 600 visitors. Whatever. Is it wrong for a pastor to desire a healthy church, a church that wants to grow? Is it wrong, though, when it controls him in such a way that he is willing to lie to others just to look good, just to have a good reputation? Yes, it is wrong. It is desire that has become idolatrous because that pastor has said no to the Spirit of God, no to the way of God for so long. A man who gets home after a hard day's work and he takes a little cup of wine or a little glass of beer just to take the edge off. Just to take the edge off. That's how it started. But because he has said no to the Spirit of God for so long, that wine, that beer, that alcohol ends up controlling him and ruins everything that he touches. A desire to alleviate the pain. Maybe it will take you to some medications that become controlling. You have said no to the Spirit of God so long that the vacuum created is sucked up by your and mine own desires. Randy Alcorn, who wrote a good book on heaven, and he's written other good books too, he has a list of questions that we can ask ourselves, you know, what is it in my life that has become so controlling? Why am I not able to control myself any longer in this period of time? He helps us identify maybe some of these things. I'm going to ask you these questions. What am I preoccupied with? What is the first thing on my mind in the morning and the last thing on my mind at night? Question number two, how would I complete this statement? If only then I would be happy. then I would feel fulfilled. Then I would feel secure. If you fill that blank with anything besides God and His Spirit, that thing has become an idol to you. It's becoming controlling desires. What do I want? Or what do I try to avoid? Where do I put my trust? What do I fear? When a certain desire is not met, do I feel frustration, anxiety, resentment, bitterness, anger, depression? Last question he asks. Is there something I desire so much that I am willing to disappoint or hurt others in order to have it? Paul says this in Ephesians 5:18. He says, and do not get drunk with wine. Interesting how he uses the terminology here. For that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit of God. The solution to your desires becoming controlling in your life is the Spirit of God. It is saying yes to the Spirit of God. We all have a worship disorder, a worship disease. And we all worship the creation more than we worship God. God wants us to worship Him and Him alone. How does that happen? We've talked about this in our church over and over and over again. God offers us lifelines. Here we are. We're drowning. Literally drowning in our own desires. They will take us far away from God. And God offers us lifelines. Over and over again, He throws us lifelines. And we refuse to come up for air. We're drowning. And we refuse to come up for air, the air of the Holy Spirit, the breath of life. What does God offer us? He offers us His Word. As a church, we're committed to what? Reading His Word, teaching His Word, studying His Word, memorizing His Word. God offers you 365 days, opportunities a year, and then every 4 years, He gives you one more day to read His Word. And you're wondering why you're struggling with His desires that you don't want to do? Read His Word. Make it a priority in your life. 52 days a year, God offers you an opportunity to meet together with other believers who are committed to His Word. And I know you're all here this morning. Praise the Lord for that. And if you're listening on the internet, I don't know why you're here. You're not here. But this is an opportunity God gives you to interrupt that cycle that of just living for yourselves, living for your own desires day after day after day. And then there's one day that you can live for God, Sunday, and you choose not to be here. God wants you to say yes to His Holy Spirit. God wants you to say yes to the means that He gives you, the lifelines that He offers you to not drown in the reality of living for your own desires. What else? Prayer. Prayer. Opportunity after opportunity that God gives you to pray. Pray for Him, not just when you're in trouble, but pray for Him when you're in trouble. Pray. Have a prayer list. Pray for others. Pray for yourself. Pray for your children. Pray for your grandchildren. Fellowship with one another. God's offering us a lifeline. Sometimes, you know what? We just need to grab onto that lifeline of another brother and sister and say, you know what? I'm hurting. My desires are controlling me. I need some help. Will you help me? And as brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a commitment. We have an obligation. We're partnering with each other for each other's growth. And yes, I'll help you. I'll pray for you. I'll see what I can do to help you. You might have to band together with another brother. The Bible says a cord of three strands, what, is not easily broken. And then live a life of repentance. You're going to fall. I'm going to fall. The desires will sometimes take over, but Jesus says in 1 John, he says this. He says, if you say that you are without sin, you're a liar. You're not fooling anybody else, but if you do sin, what? Confess it. confess it to God. And He is faithful and just to forgive you from all unrighteousness. What a promise! What a promise! Quit saying no, all of us. Me too, to the Holy Spirit of God. Quit living for your own desires. Live for God. Live for His glory. Live for His kingdom. Live for worshiping Jesus Christ. We have an opportunity right now to worship Jesus Christ in a very visible, practical way. God has given us, through Jesus Christ, the power to say no to our earthly desires. The world does not have this power at their disposal. They'll always be looking for another means. They'll be looking for another pill, another drug, another therapy. We get to look to Jesus Christ, who gave Himself on our behalf so that we could have power over the sinful desires that so easily rule us. So I'm going to ask the men to come forward, and we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper, and we're going to celebrate what He did for us in His death.